The following is a King's Chapel, Alaska presentation with Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion's making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's call and help us be the personal, powerful, permeating church God's called us to be. For more information, visit kcalaska.com or find us on Facebook. Here's Pastor Daniel.
Stand up on your feet, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis. I love the Old Testament. You know, there's some churches, they never preach from the Old Testament. Did you know that? No, for real. They're always in the new. And I'm going to love the new. I'll always tie it into the new. Always. I'll always do that. But man, the Old Testament is rich. Rich, rich, rich. All right. Here we go. Genesis 17. Now, if you haven't read some scripture today, we'll be covering that as we read the entire chapter. Genesis 17. I thought, let me trim this up. And I thought, no. We're going to help some of you guys out. What a great passage. Genesis 17, verse 1 through 27. New King James. We're passing out notes. Here we go. Are you ready? If you're ready, say aye. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. I will also give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant. You and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of covenant between me and you. And he who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child, your generations. He who is born in your house or brought with money, or any foreigner who is not your descendant. Verse 13. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, for Sarai, your wife, you shall call her name Sarai, not Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. And I will bless her and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face. Notice it calls him Abraham now. He got his name changed. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, shall I have a child born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 99 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you before. I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you, at the set time next year. At this set time next year. Verse 22. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael's son and all he had brought with money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. And Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskins, and Ishmael and his sons was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And that very same day, Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. Father, speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name, may we never be the same. Amen. You may be seated. We do have notes. The message is on identity. I've preached lots of messages on identity, and never from this text. You see, who you see yourself to be affects how you act and how you live. So if you think of yourself as an angry man, then you will be an angry man. If you think of yourself as somebody who's lazy, you will be lazy. For even it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So who you see yourself to be will affect how you act and live. I've said it this way before: you are not what you eat, you are what you believe. And you cannot separate what you believe from your actions. What your actions are, that is what you believe about yourself. And as I've said also many times before, you cannot afford to have a thought in your head about yourself that God doesn't have towards you. The walk of faith is a key ingredient to identity. Let's look at the text. Abram is 99 years old. And God emphasizes this covenant that he made with Abraham. And God changes his name from Abram to Abraham. And the name change is significant because he changes his name. It means that he's changing everything. And he only has one child whose name is Ishmael. And that was how they tried to help God out and ended up with an Ishmael. And I poked fun at this just recently. I mean, it's kind of a crazy thing. It's kind of like God saying to you, and your new name is wealthy and prosperous, but you only have a dollar to your name. So here's Abram, gets a name change, Abraham. And from there on, he has to introduce himself. Hi, my name is Father of Many Nations. Whoa, that's quite a name. Yeah, how many kids you have? One. Excuse me? That's a pretty big name for one kid. Father of Many Nations, you have one kid. But God was saying to him, I'm going to do this thing. And every time he had to introduce himself, he was saying, God's going to do this. God is going to multiply me. God's going to give me more descendants and more numerable than the stars. God's going to do this. And you need to learn that in your life to get it down in the city of your soul, who you are and what God's going to do. What is he going to do? What's he going to do in your life? Who are you? Come on, I'm a co-heir with Christ. I mean, if you don't know who you are in God, then it's very difficult. You won't have a boldness. If you hang your head in shame because you think the education that you have or the lack thereof or the clothes that you wear, you know, that doesn't stand up too good when you really face opposition. Abram, 99 years old, and God's emphasized this covenant he made with Abram, and he changed his name to Abraham. And Abraham would be very fruitful and multiply. Right there, verse 6. I'm making you exceedingly fruitful. That's not just fruitful, it's exceedingly fruitful. And I'll make nations come from you. Wow. And then verse 7. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you. He will establish an everlasting covenant with Abraham and his children. An everlasting covenant. And if you look at verse 8, it says, I will also give your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger. So his children, his descendants, would possess Canaan, would possess the promised land. And it goes on to say that that he would be their God. Now, the fascinating thing about this is a number of things that stood out to me from this text. Abraham must keep his part of the covenant. Now, if you could just listen to what I say in the next few minutes, I am not going to preach long to you. In covenant, there is covenant rights, there's covenant responsibilities, and there's covenant privileges, and there's a covenant sign. And so the covenant responsibility that Abraham had, pardon me, if you look right in your notes, he was to walk before God blameless. So God says, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to make you multiply. You're going to be exceedingly fruitful. It's going to be awesome. I'm changing your name, Abram. You're now Abraham. You're the father of many nations. I have one kid. I know. You're going to have, from you is going to come nations. Your name's now Abraham. And I've made this everlasting covenant with you and your children. Walk blameless before me. God couldn't do the walking blameless part. Only Abraham could. It's a responsibility that Abraham had to do. He had to do his part. And his part was what? To walk before God blameless. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God and was no more. Got so close to God, God said, ah, come on. Sucked him right off the planet. So his responsibility, Abraham must keep his part of the covenant to walk before God blameless. But the second thing is that he and his children must wear the sign of the covenant, and that's being circumcised. Circumcision was only for males. You say, why would you say that? Listen, I know I'm treading on some territory that maybe it might make you squirm a little bit. Females in many cultures had circumcision. Not so in the kingdom. Not so with God. It is not an unusual thing even today. It's a horrible practice. But God said, walk before me blameless, and you and 99 years old, you and your children and all the foreigners and all those that are in your household, everybody must be circumcised. So circumcision was for males only. And it's this picture that any time they would bathe, they would think about the fact that they have made a covenant with God. It's not something you could ever take off. It's permanent. It was painful. And yet, if you didn't do it, then you were cut out. I mean, this is some pretty serious stuff. God says, Abraham, I'm going to do all of this for you. Walk before me blameless, and I've got this thing to do for you to do with a flint knife. Excuse me? Pardon me? Just the males. And it was a sign of God's lordship of their person. This is important. And it's Old Testament. So it doesn't necessarily apply today. Today in the New Testament application, there's a circumcision of your heart. And we'll talk about that. But it was a sign in the Old Testament that the Lord, God was God, that he was the Lord of all, everything, including the most sensitive parts of their life. And it's interesting that it's a male, by the way. So there was no elite class. All could enter into the covenant. And it was the parents' responsibility to have their children circumcised. And I think it's also fascinating because men struggle with lust more than women do. Shock, shock. They struggle with lust more than women do. Women are relational. Of course, there's some examples, I'm sure, that don't fit in that category. But generally speaking, men struggle with lust in their eye gate more than women. And it's interesting that God would say, of the very place where I bring unity between, union between a man and a woman, and the purpose of that act supposed to take place in the covenant of marriage, which is forever, is for children, it's for oneness, and it's for pleasure. Those are the three reasons that, you know, that's not the way it is for dogs. You're not a dog. You know, another fascinating thing is that there are men and there are women. You'll notice that there's men and women here. There's not some confusion about what sex you are. There's such perversion in today's world. Well, let's move on off to circumcision. Look at E. Sarai gets a new name and is promised that she would, even though she's 90 years old, she'll give birth to Isaac. And Abraham obeys God and circumcises. I love the very same chapter, Abraham follows through on everything God told him to do. Just follows through on the whole thing. Look, God's speaking to us. Our identity is deeper than what the world sees our identity to be. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. Your identity needs to be in God. We need to have a circumcision of the heart. You need to settle it tonight. This is not some Christian club we're doing. This is an eternal lifetime covenant that God makes with us. Ezekiel 36 and I think Ezekiel 11 talks about how God will take out the heart of stone and put in the heart of flesh. Romans talks about the circumcision of the heart. Your identity is deeper than what the world sees identity to be. And yes, we're identified as male or female. It's either or. It's not shim. It's not a shim. It's a she or a him, but it's not shim. Shim is something you use to set a door. Isn't that right, John? John taught me about doors and setting doors. You use shims and stuff like that. Yeah, that's not who you are. And you're either man or woman. You're either female or male. And there can come confusion today. And it's not so here in Scripture. And yes, we're identified with what we've inherited from our family. Your identity, where you come from, I think it is significant. But it's not more significant than the identity that God gives you when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. My last name is Bracken. A bracken is a fern. It's an Irish last name. On my mother's side, the last name is McCall. They're all Scots. Scottish. Amen. Stuart. Fellow Scotsman back there. So I'm Celtic. That's where my family comes from. I've got Celtic roots. But that's not who I am. I mean, there's genetic makeup there and, you know, the blue eyes, the fair skin, the freckles, all that kind of stuff. That comes from people who were Celtic. They're a bunch of freckles and redheaded people over there. Amen. But you might be Italian. You might be Greek. You might be from an Asian background or African-American background. Those is just your background on the earth. Every one of us are made in his image. Red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in his sight. Can you say amen? What really gives you identity, the greatest source of identity, look at your notes, the greatest source of identity is our faith. We're in a new covenant with the living God through Christ. A new covenant. Jesus, when he took the communion, and we're going to receive communion tonight for those of you that would like to. Jesus said, a new covenant I make with you today. He says, this is my body, which is broken for you, and this is my blood, which is shed for you. It's a new covenant. We're under a new covenant. He said, is that significant? Oh, it's very significant. True circumcision comes when we worship God in the Spirit and we glorify Jesus Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. That's true circumcision that comes. Let me say that again. A true circumcision of the heart is when we worship God in the Spirit and we glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. We have a new name. Do you have a new name? You could read Book of Revelation. God gives us a new name. It's kind of cool. They used to call me Somebody said, why don't you call yourself Daniel? Why don't you call yourself Dan? You want to know why I call myself Dan? Somebody asked me, can I call you Dan? The answer is no. Can I call you Danny? The answer is no. Some of you never heard this before. I haven't run out of stories yet. I got some new ones still. I told Pastor Alex a story, actually, that I don't think I've ever shared. He was showing me the bass. It's one of the easiest instruments to learn. I said, man, I'd like to learn that. And then I remembered, I used to play the bass. When I was about 8 years old, 8, 9 years old, I used to play the bass fiddle in the orchestra, the big bass, big one. And they gave me this big bag. And I used to carry this gigantic instrument down the hallway. Now, I will tell you why I played the bass. Because I needed attention. That is why. I chose the biggest. I mean, you should see me lugging that thing. And everybody would be like, oh, my gosh, that's a big instrument. I'm like, yeah, that's mine. Because I needed it. I was craving somebody to acknowledge me. Parents were going through a divorce. Some of you never heard that story. I was always called Dan in my cowboy years, which I don't think have ended, but anyway. Those are like your crazy years when you're just kind of like going nuts and jumping out of planes and doing crazy. They called me Dangerous Dan because I would just do crazy stuff. Drop in on super big waves and, you know, I was just a little crazy. They called me Dangerous Dan. They called me Danny when I was a little boy. They called me Dangerous Dan when I grew up. And when I was even a young man, they just called me Dan. Even my relatives, I can't break them of it. They called me Dan. My name is not Dan. My name is Daniel. And when I got saved, I had a revelation of my name. God is my judge. How'd you like to have that name? God's your judge. You're like. And I knew that I started learning about this new creation thing. I was kind of going back and forth. I didn't like Dan because it related to all that hurting, broken stuff. And I thought, wait a second. I felt like the Lord said, man, your name's Daniel. In fact, somebody said to me, it was my mother. God bless my mother. My mother says to me, son, what does the Lord call you? And I had to think about that for a second. I'm like, I don't know. And so I asked the Lord, Lord, what do you call me? And I heard, you know, you're my son. I said, Lord, my name, what do you call me? You were Daniel. And I thought, I'm Daniel. And it happened right after I got saved. So I'm not Dan. I'm not Danny. It's wonderful. That's my son. My name's Daniel. You say, why is that? Because I walked out of an old life and I'm living in the new one. And God gave me a new name. I think that, you know, the Catholics had a little bit of revelation there about confirmation names. So anybody know what I'm talking about? Any Catholic, you know, recovering Catholics out there? I'm just teasing you. The confirmation name, I think it had something to do about a new name. You know, God will give you a new name. You receive Jesus. He gives you a new beginning. Come on, fill your notes in. A new beginning. Oh, my goodness. I needed that, man. I needed a new beginning. God gave Abram, the name Abraham. He'll give you a new name. He'll give you a new beginning. A brand new start. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, today's the first day of the rest of your life. He'll help you. He'll give you a new character. He'll give you a new character if you serve the Lord and you diligently seek Him and you study the Word and you meditate on the Scripture and you renew your mind. He will change you. He will make you into a new creation. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Almost felt like Michael Jackson there for a second. Not quite. They'll give you a new destiny. He'll give you a new destiny. Everybody say, I got a new destiny. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future. When you came to Christ and you received Him, and if you haven't done that, we can remedy that by the end of the service. But when you came to Jesus, your whole life became new. You need to identify with that now. It's an eternal covenant. He'll take out the heart of stone and put in the heart of flesh. You've got to do your job God will bless you. God will prosper you. God will give you the life and life abundantly. But you need to do your part. Abraham did his part. He walked before the Lord blameless. And he followed through on a very difficult act of circumcision of himself and his entire, all the males in his household. Wow. There's so much more in that circumcision part, but I just felt the Lord pull the reins in. I'll save it for a men's meeting. I'm not kidding. God wants to touch you tonight. He wants to just put his hand upon your heart and take off that which is no longer needed. So that when people see you, when people talk to you, they say, my gosh, what happened to you? A man ended up in church today. I haven't seen him in a while. The reason he came to church was a relative of his was in a service prior to that. And came home and he looked at the person and they said, what happened to you? He said, I went to church. And he said, oh God, I'm going. And he got in the third service and got touched by God. What happened to the one that was here before that? She got impacted. She started, her eyes were raised off of her circumstances. And she began to realize, hey, wait a minute. I've got a mantle. Hey, wait a second. Hold on. Wait, I'm going to do something for God. Wait, this isn't that big a deal. I can make it through this thing. I'm going to overcome. Come on, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. And she just started lifting her chin up, started standing a little bit straighter, got filled with the Spirit, got touched by the Spirit of God. So when you saw her after, there was a radiance. So when he looked at her, he said, what happened to you? I went to church. He's like, yeah, that's what's missing. I'm getting over there. It ought to be like that for you every day. When you wake up, you declare, I've got a new name. I've got a new character. I've got destiny. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, you just shake off those heavy bands and lift up those holy hands and begin to worship Him and glorify Him. Let Him circumcise your heart. Cut off the things that are robbing you. Cut off the things that are wasting your life. Some of you need to tap dance on your cell phone. Get set free from that thing. It's a bondage for some of you. So we need to push yourself away from the TV. Push yourself away from video games. Either that or sit and ride off into the sunset and become a couch potato. Stand before God on judgment day and see how that works out for you. I'm not saying you go to hell over it. But the devil wants to get you defiled and living in your old nature. Doesn't want you to live in the newness of life. Doesn't want you to live with a new name, with new character, a new beginning. He doesn't want you to live that way. New destiny. Lastly, we must walk by faith in our new identity. Abraham had a brand. He was no longer Abram. He's now Abraham, the father many nations, and it changed him physically by his act of obedience. It changed everyone in his household, and that is the way it is for you and I. That when you receive Jesus, you come to understand who you are. It will change you. It will change the way you speak, change the way you think, change the way you respond to people and problems and challenges. So that everyone who knows you will be impacted because of the transformation and the circumcision of your heart. Can you say amen? Stand up on your feet, just call upon the Lord. Ushers, would you help me? We're gonna receive communion. If you've not received, I'm gonna receive communion twice today. That's all right. Come on, you can't overdose on communion. Praise the Lord. Listen. You can take communion in your house. You're the priest of your own house. You don't need somebody, you don't need somebody serving you. You can do it just you and Jesus. My beautiful wife, before she gave her heart to Jesus, was in New Mexico, and she went back to her hotel room. She didn't know the Lord. She went back to her hotel room. She bought a bottle of juice and crackers and served herself communion and said, "Lord God, I don't know who you are, but I want to know you." And she took communion as an unsaved person. And the Spirit of God came in that hotel room, came in that room, overwhelmed her. And she knew God was there, but she didn't know his name was Jesus. Later. In that moment, she said, "Lord, I know my life is about serving you, and I will do whatever you want me to do." It's before she was saved. And then God began to set things in order, and she gave her heart to Jesus. From following two gurus, God transformed her, made her the most beautiful woman in the world. Hallelujah. Come on, you want to receive communion? Just come. And as you do, you begin to examine yourself. Come on, come from that back row. You begin to examine your heart, examine your life. How you doing? Are you walking in the newness of life? Or are you clinging on to the old? It's a brand new day. Yes. It's a brand new day. Hallelujah. 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 answer to your life is death. Did you catch that? Put the lyrics back up if you can. The answer to your life is death. In other words, you've been crucified with Christ. As the Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Some of you are carrying things you were never meant to carry. You were never meant to carry some of the burdens and the yokes that you're under. His burden is easy. His yoke is light. The burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I received my sight. Until really you allow for the circumcision of your heart, you will be blind. Living carnal Christianity is the most painful walk ever. I think it's worse than being in the world. It's like you've had a taste of heaven, but you still got one foot in the world, and you're trying to figure it out with your head, and you're just being torn right up the middle. It's terrible. Come on, God's got freedom for you. God's got wholeness for you. God's got blessing for you. And now, I am happy all the day. Come on, examine yourself. Come on, take a deep look. And as soon as you see something, repent. You don't want to look deep too long. When it's ugly in there, oh my God, can change you. So Lord, change us. Forgive us for where we've fallen short, where we've blown it, where we've grieved you. In the name of Jesus, thank you for your blood that covers us, even as we repent tonight. Wash us and cleanse us. Take out the heart of stone. Put in the heart of flesh. That we would be a people circumcised in the heart. Living for you. Walking in our heavenly identity. A new name. A new beginning. New character. A new destiny. And we thank you and praise you for it. We receive your death and your resurrection and your soon return. We receive your forgiveness. We worship you now. In Jesus' name, let's eat and drink together. Hallelujah. I hope you got encouraged tonight. Would you take someone by the hand? Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for what you've done today. The services earlier and now this fourth service. Put your hand upon your people. Bless them. Cause your face to shine upon them. Lift up your countenance towards them. Lift up your countenance towards us, O God. Let the road rise to meet us. May the wind and the rain always be at our back. And give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll hope to see you Tuesday night. Please be prepared. May 7th, we go to a midweek of Wednesday. May 7th, we move from Tuesday to Wednesday. God bless you. We love you. Praise God. Take some of those flyers for Alaska Fest. Rejoice. Go into that mission field. Bring people Tuesday night. Invite people to come. Use those flyers. We love you. Praise God.
Thanks for listening to King's Chapel, Alaska, and Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion is making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's life call and help us to be the personal, powerful, and permeating church God's called us to be. Get in touch with us anytime at 907-357-2065, 907-357-2065, or online at kcalaska.com, kcalaska.com. Friend us on Facebook and follow Pastor Daniel's tweets at Alaska Revival.